I think we got up to Simon Tofresh Tzadi Beis on page 316. We spoke about a machlokas regarding Shechiyonu. The Mechaber says Shechiyonu is only recited at night, whereas the Ramos says even by day we recite Shechiyonu. And he records that that's the minog in his Medinos. He says that Echad Yochel Levarch V'Sheni Kore, one person can make the bracha and the other person can read the Megillah. So I think the last thing we got up to was this Mishnah Berurah number Gimel. Echad Yochel Levarch. He says, Bein Bracha Rishona U'Bein Le'in Bracha Achrona. He says that the brachos can be recited, whether the ones before the Megillah or the ones after the Megillah, which we're going to discuss now, can be recited by someone other than the Korei. So everyone should have kavana to be yotze with these brachos. In the Shaar HaTzion, he quotes the names of the Rishonim who agree with this psak, and there's no difference between the bracha lachrei or the bracha lefnei. You don't need that the Kori himself recite the bracha. Then he quotes a Ritva in the third parak of Megillah. The Ritva says, Dafka b'bracha shalachrei v'lofanei ha-kori atzmon chayev levarach. He doesn't explain why that should be. Perhaps we could suggest that the bracha is on the Megillah itself, and the mitzvah is Kriya. So the bracha and the Kriya, to integrate them into one entity, the same person who's reading the Megillah should be the one who recites the bracha. But l'halacha, he doesn't seem to hesitate. The Mishnah Berurah paskens that you can give even the bracha lefanel, the bracha lefanel, you can give to somebody other than the Kori. So here's what we got up to. We're in the middle of Se'if Aleph, and it's the third line down from the top of the page. Ulachrea nogim levarech haravas rivenu. So here's where the Shulchan Aruch codifies the bracha lachrea, which is called haravas rivenu. And now the big question is, what does it mean lachrea? Does it mean immediately following the Megillah reading? Anytime after the Megillah reading? Does it apply in the daytime, at nighttime? So if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, he says, the Gemara Isa, this is Sifkat and Dalid, the bracha shalachrei talya b'minhaga. So the first point he makes is that from the Gemara it's clear that not everyone has this requirement of making a bracha lachrei. It all depends on the minhag. And therefore, b'makom shenogim levarach yivarech. So that's why the Mechaber says, nogim levarach lachrei. And then the nusach of the bracha is haravas rivenu. So Mr. Berurah number Hay says, V'ein lomar ha'el ha'rav came to kfar zohar Hashem. And so he said, Baruch ato Hashem Elokeinu melech olam. So he doesn't have to add the word kel, it's just another name of God, and that's unnecessary. But yesh garsim ha'kel, there are those who do have the name of God, and we don't know exactly why. We don't know how to justify that particular nusach habracha. Leo Rabbi Chriyak Shulchan Aruch Ein Lomar Chin Ein Lomar Baruch Ata Hashem Hakel Hanifra. Not to add the word Hakel, Rak Baruch Ata Hashem Hanifra. So the extra word Kel is not justified. Now it seems to me that sometimes we add the word Kel when it's a Bircha Shevach V'Odoya. I don't know if we can find an example of that. Let's see. At the end of Hallel, and at the end of Birchas HaShachar on Birchas Kriyat Shema on Shabbos, I think in certain cases we do add the word Kel. Yeah, take a look, for example. At the end of Psukei Dezimra, it's Kel HaHodos. So even though he mentions Baruch Ata Hashem, now that's not a riot because he doesn't mention Elokeinu here, but he does mention Kel in addition to Yud Kei Vav Kei. We'll see that again in Birchas Kriyat Shema Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken. Let's take a look. Yeah, Baruch Atah Hashem Kel Melech HaGadol HaKel B'Satzumo Suzecha. We see that the name Kel appears over and over again. Well, for example, at the end of Hallel, let's see, it says, we are Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Mulo Batishpachos. I think there's another Girsa of Kel Melech Mulo Batishpachos. Kel Hashem Vayarlonu Keliat Vodeka. Kel is a reference to might, the power of God, and therefore it's appropriate for a Bircha Shevach V'Odoya. We end Hallel by saying Ki L'cha Tov L'Odos U'L'Shimcha Noel Zamer Ki Me'olam V'Yad Olam Ata Kel. So we see that the infinite and eternal power of God is reflected by the name Kel. The only problem is that if you've already said Elokeinu, the question is, does Kel add anything to Elokeinu? Because the first two letters of Elokeinu are Kel. So if Kel in possessive is Elokeinu, then to say both Elokeinu and Kel, that doesn't seem to be justified. None of the occasions that we mentioned before do you say both Kel and Elokeinu. Let's just see on page here, it's 464, what Nusach he has. I don't think he'll have the Kel. Let's just see. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. So you have both Yud Kei Vav Kei and Elokeinu Haravis Rivena. Ah, but here's something interesting. At the end of the bracha, the Chassim Baruch Atah Hashem Anifal Yamo Yisrael Mikol Tzareihem Hakel HaMoshiach. So it's interesting that with regard to the Psichas HaBracha, it's Elokeinu without Kel. With regard to the Chassimas HaBracha, it's Yud Kei Vav Kei and then Hakel HaMoshiach without Elokeinu. So it's interesting. There is a Kel in the bracha, but only at the end. Whereas the Mishnah Berurah here says in number Hey, V'chein ein lomar Baruch Atah Hashem Hakel Hanifra, Rak Baruch Atah Hashem Hanifra. So he doesn't have a Kel Hanifra. Ah, but he does have a Kel HaMoshiach. Oh, I see. In other words, it seems to be totally superfluous to add the word Kel twice. Baruch Atah Hashem, HaKel HaNifal Yom Yisrael, and then HaKel HaMoshiach. You're just repeating yourself. Now, what happens if he omitted the brachas? So if you look in the Mechaber, three lines down from the top, he says, Im lo birech, lo lefanev, lo lachreha yotza. And the Mishnah Berurah, the first of the wide lines, the brachos ein ma'akvos, the universal principle of birchas ha-mitzvah, that the mitzvah stands on its own, independent of the bracha. We had a long discussion about Ner Chanukah with the Yaivitz, Rav Yaakov Emden. He seemed to assume that the bracha Ner Chanukah is an integral part of the mitzvah itself. Now this is interesting. Normally, if you omitted the bracha and you implemented the mitzvah, it's too late. The bracha has to be over lasiyosim. But he says, with regard to Megillah, you could actually take a break between the prakim and recite the bracha. I find this a little bit of a surprise, because in the case of Kriyat Shema, you have each parasha is a separate entity, so that's one thing. But in the case of Megillah, it's all one continuous kriya. To make the bracha in the middle. And not only that, I would even go further. It could be that in the case of Kriyat Shema, every single parsha is a machayev unto itself. But no one would say that a perek of Megillah Esther is a machayev. So that if you've already read a certain part of the Megillah, whatever amount you've read, then the balance of the kriya is not a mitzvah in a sense. It's not a separate mitzvah you can make a bracha on. But again, the Mishnah Berurah disagrees. He says, no, you can make a hefsek between the prakim and recite the bracha. So I wonder how far he would go. Let's say I reminded myself before I read the last pasuk in the Megillah. Would that be enough, one pasuk, or the whole last parak?
See, you mentioned prakim, but you didn't say prakim.
He doesn't mention prakim, only in the footnote?
Oh, the main prakim, I see. Yeah. The last word.
So let's take a look. Do we have a Megillah Esther? Yeah, I don't know. If we had a Chumash, some of the Chumashim have Megillah Esther in the back. Yeah, let's see, maybe I have it right here. Alright, here it is. So in the last parak in Megillah has three psukim to it. It's the shortest parak in Megillah, but it's also the last parak in Megillah. And it's all about the taxes of Achashverosh. So I'm just wondering, how far would the Mishnah Berurah go? Is he willing to say that if I reminded myself right before the last parak, and I got three psukim left, I don't know. But not even the raya from Parshiyos of Kriyatra, I don't think is necessarily a convincing raya. Now he says the following. The Ramah writes four lines down from the top. Nagu lomar balayla sharheni avalo bayom. We have a paragraph called Asharheni. It's a long piyut. And the Ramah points out that we only recite this at night and not during the day. He doesn't explain why. Now, I'm not sure if this is an issue of Tircha d'Tzibura. You have the Dirshu by any chance? No, don't bother yourself. I'm just, it's not important. Maybe it's an issue of Tircha d'Tzibura. Once you've said it at night, you don't have to repeat it by day. He says the Kfar Omar Piyutim. That's what Mishnah Berurah writes in number Zion. As you don't have to say Piyutim twice. Once is enough. So what do we do during the day? We only recite Shoshanas Yaakov and we skip Asherheni. It's interesting how Shoshanas Yaakov has been accepted as an integral part of Harvest of Kriyas HaMegillah. And then he says Ein Levarach Achrei El B'Tzibur. Well, this is a long discussion. Why is it that this bracha is only b'tzibur? I mean, the Mishnah Berurah points out Avol brachas lefaneh kuli alma yochid tzarich levarach. So why is the bracha l'achrei different? If you take a look in the Bir Aloch, he writes, "Hinei bebeis Yosef kosdar cheschaim koskim b'shem Yerushalmi ayin be'aleil rabba dochiach mikama poskim demevarach afilu biyochid." Oh. So we have a precedent here, the Elio Rabba, the name of some poskim, that you should recite these brachas, well, I should say this bracha, even be yoch. I am be yogro, me yoshal mi gamken, ein raya. Lokoyel a birchas a Torah. Because they want to bring a raya that you could only recite this bracha b'tzibur from a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi is talking about the bracha on Torah. And the bracha on Torah is only on Torah b'tzibur. Mikomakom nira di ein kidai levarach achreha delav divlav hachi brachasu afil b'tzibur enochi yuvis v'talyu b'minah kiviyisu gemar miyomar didispashin aminah kayom levarach biyochid kenkos v'pribugodim disofik brachas lahak. So you're reading the Megillah without a tzibur. L'maisa he advocates and he quotes the pribugodim to omit the brach lachreha. Why? Because the sofik brachas lahak. It's interesting because Rav Kivega is famous for saying that Sofik Brachas Lahakil is because of Sofik Isur. Like, for example, we have Lotisa Shem Hashem Lashav. So, on the tzad that you're not chayiv in the Bracha, that you made the Bracha Lashav, and you violated that Isur of Lashav. So, it becomes Sofik Isur Lachum. I'm just wondering if that applies in the case of Birch Hashem Achvodoya. Is that really a Tfilah Shav? Or a brachal a shav. I mean, he's thanking Hashem for Dadas Dinenu, Ravas Rivenu. It seems to me that that's meaningful in and of itself, even if there's no minig to recite it. But I guess every bracha needs a matir, and the matir would have to be the minig. If there's no minig, then there's no matir. So again, he's going to apply the principle of Sofik brachas lahakil. Now, what is the content of this bracha? It's a pretty wordy bracha. Haravas Rivenu, Adonis Dinenu, Anokinus Nukasenu, Hamashalin Gbulacholevi Nafshenu, Anifralotam Yitzarenu. There are five parts of this bracha. So I can only tell you about one thing that I heard.
The bracha is all in the Rabbi. And so if you buy it by yourself,
Well, what about Shechiyanu? I mean, nobody denies that or Shasa Nisan Lamoseinu. I heard from my Rebbe once that the emphasis here on Hadonis Dinenu is the following, that Chazal say that when the Umos HaOlam or the Makatreg that sometimes represents the Umos HaOlam comes to prosecute against the Jewish people on high, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, if you want to accuse the Jewish people, you come to me. Well, I'm going to be the Baal Din. I become the litigant, because any insult and any attack on the Jewish people is really an attack on Hashem, because we represent Hashem in this world. And that's why it says Hadon es dinenu, and the word Don is to become a Baal Din. That's what my Rebbe said in the name of Chaim Brisker, that if Hadon means to become a Baal Din. And it's interesting how much emphasis there is on Nekama. Perhaps this is a special halacha in Amalek, I don't know. Like, it's interesting, in the most surah, there's one paragraph about Purim. Do you remember that? Kros komas barosh, pikesh hagagi ben amadasa. There's a whole description here about Oyev Shmo Machisa, Rov Bonav Kinyon of Leitz Talisa. I mean, this all sounds like a real Nekama. But since Sagogi Melech Amdasa, when it comes to Amalek, there is a halacha of Nekama against Amalek. And the Tanakh actually predicts that Amalek will be completely destroyed at the end of time. Alright, we're up to Siv Beitz. Ein lasuch biyotche korinos. So what happens if a person schmoozes in the middle of Kriyas HaMegillah? Has he forfeited the mitzvah? The Mechaber says, Ein lasuch. He tells you not to do it, he doesn't tell you what happens if you do it. Also, it's interesting that it sounds like he's talking about the audience, the Kahal, because he says Ein lasuch biyotche korinbo. Somebody else is reading it. So what's the deal with the reader himself? Is that a Kal Vachomer that for sure he cannot be mafsik? So we'll learn the Mishnah Berurah number test. He says, Hainu, Bein HaShomer Bein HaKore Oso Lehem Losuch Lechatchila Afilu B'Divrei Torah. So you can't take a break in the middle of the Megillah, whether you're the Kore or the Shomer, even if it's for the sake of Divrei Torah. Here's where we distinguish between the Korea and the Shomea. Da Shomea imsoch b'eins akriya lo yotza. V'afilu im chiser lishmo teva achas. Da lo shoma kula. Avla kore yotza. Notice, in the case of the Korea, if he's mafsig, then he will have read all the words of the Megillah. He's not skipping any words. But in the case of the Shomea, if he's sach in the middle, then he completely cancels his shmiah at that point. So there's a word that he didn't hear from the Megillah, and the halacha Megillah is shama kula. Now let's look at the Berhetev and see if he's saying the same thing. The Berhetev is number hey, and he writes us hakorei atzma rashoy lahafsik. Now this is interesting, because the Mishnah Berurah gives you the impression that Bein HaShomer Bein HaKorei also lehem lasuch lechatchila, but Linya B'dieved is the Korei is Yotze B'dieved because he read the entire Megillah. The Be'er Heitev gives you the impression that there's no inhibition as far as the Korei being mafsik. Now, if you take a look at the Shari Tshuva, number hey, he writes, I am Be'er Heitev. So he saw the same, his eye noticed the same Be'er Heitev that our eyes noticed, that as far as the Kohen is concerned, he's allowed to be mafsik. He says that the tour seems to be matir lahafsik b'emtza kriya. Now, if again we're talking about the Kohen, then that's what the Be'er Heitev is reflecting here, this sheet of the tour, that as far as the kriya of the Kohen is concerned, he can be mafsik. That's very interesting. It's very challenging to try to figure out sometimes what the logic is, because l'chora, what difference make between the kori and the shomer, or the shomer, as far as the chatchila is concerned?
I think the big tell is like there seems to be no parameters.
Right. It's very hard to set the
right?
Set the rules here. I'm also curious about the language of the Machaber. He says, "Ein lasuf bi'od shekorim osa." I would have said, "Ein lasuf be'emtza kriya," or "Ein lahafzik b'divur be'emtza kriya." What's this "bi'od shekorim osa"? Unless, again, if you go with the Berhetev, he's trying to emphasize that as far as the Korei is concerned, there's no problem. But "bi'od shekorim osa," you're listening, now you have a serious problem. All right, let's take a look on page 317. So I already fulfilled my obligation. Can I make a bracha on your behalf? Now I would assume when he says mevarech, he's not limiting himself to the bracha. He's talking about the kriya itself, the kriya and the bracha. In both cases, he could be motzi esa'acher. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah Yud. It says, Kol shekein yichol lahotzi b'kriya. Oh, that was upgrade. He didn't even have to tell me that. Afal pishi yotza kfar. Because that's a universal principle, yotza motzi. But in the case of the bracha, to say asher kichonu v'tzosu v'tzivonu, when you already fulfilled your obligation, better that one of the members of the kahal should make the bracha, because he's actually obligated. And that's the chiddush here. No, afal pishiyotze kfar mavarech. That even as far as the bracha is concerned, we're going to apply the principle of yotze motzi. We call them yesh poskim shesovrim l'nyan bracha im yodin v'yatzel brachi v'orcha v'yatzel kevin shu kfar yotze b'kriya. V'nega ola hakel otzi b'chol gav. So this is a sheet of the Machmirim here, that in a case of Shomer Kahone, it's better, you maximize and ideal the situation if the Shomer himself will make the bracha. And it basically depends on whether or not the shomer knows how to make the bracha. Again, to us this sounds like a little bit foreign to us, because everybody knows how to make a bracha, right? But nevertheless, it wasn't always like that. So if he doesn't know how to make the bracha, then for sure he's going to be yotzi with somebody else's bracha, and that person might have already fulfilled his obligation. He says minigolom lahakil. And the impression I get is, if not for this minhag ha'olam l'hakel, then we would have gone the following way. That if I'm reading for you, and only for you, because I was yotzei machiyuv, then I should step aside and have you make the brachas, and then I'll do the kriya. He says the minhag is not like that. I guess the easiest thing is for the korei to, if I'm not mistaken, then on shofar blazon, if you're blowing for the isha, then you don't make the bracha, she makes her own bracha. Then in number Yud Aleph, Lahotzi es ha'acher yidei chovaso, Likre'ena l'noshim acher sheyotza mi'beis ha'kneses. Ooh, this is a printing mistake. It should say Acher Shiyotza Bibes HaKnesses. Does anybody point that out? Does the Dirshu have corrections in the text? Let's see what he has on the bottom here. Tesvav. He just tells you to look in the Magen Avraham. We can check this out in the Magen Avraham, actually. You see anything there in number Yud Aleph? If not, you'll have to trust my intuition here, but I think there's a printing mistake here. It should say Acher sheyotza bibeis haKnesses. He doesn't have to leave the Beis haKnesses. He could be in the Beis haKnesses. The mitzvah sheyetze biatzmo bekriyas hatzibur. Ah, because if he's going to have kavana not to be yotze with the tzibur, then he's going to have to be yotze with the yachid. And we want him to be yotze with the tzibur.
I don't see it.
You're alright, so leave it there. Again, if I had time, I would read the Magen Avraham. Just to get up and get the Magen Avraham. If we had a chance, we could do that later, but it should say Bibbeis HaKnesses. It's not Mibbeis HaKnesses. Achen, he says, in Mechavin Shalom Lotzeis Biosa Kriya. So he was listening to the tzibur, but he had in mind not to be yotze. Shaper domi lotzeis akakach bekriyas hatzibur. Well, this I don't understand. He says the following: that he should be yotze himself with the tzibur. That's for sure. But then he says in mechavin. Lotze, he's supposed to create Shapir Domi Lotze. You catch what's going on over here? He says, is he saying Im Mechavin Shalom Lotze is Bekriya? We're not advocating that he does so, because Mitzvah Sheyetze Be'atzim Bekriya Satsi, but if in event he had Kavonish Shalom Lotze is Belso Kriya, Shapir Domi Lotze is Akach Bekriya Satsibu. Oh, I see. I think he's talking about a case where the sequence was reversed. In the first discussion of the ratio, he was talking about a case where first he was Yotzi's mitzvah, they read it for the men, and then they're reading it, now they're reading it for the women. But what happens in the reverse case? If he's reading it for a woman, and then he's going to hear it for Tzibur. So in such a case, we might advocate that he should have kavana shalolotzeis bosa kriya. But that's a little bit strange. How is she going to be yotzef?
We're talking about the Baal Parah.
Yeah.
And he's saying the brachas and not being yotzef?
That I don't know. I don't think he was discussing that. I think in the next line he's going to talk about who should make the brachas. He's talking about a Baal Korah who's reading it for women. So I think he says there are two possible sequences. One is where he himself heard the Megillah B'tzibur, and he was mechavin lotzeis. Now he goes and he reads it for a woman, and the Mishnah Berurah seems to advocate that that's the best sequence, that you know, if all optimal conditions are met, then you start with a kiyum of tzibur. Now he has the reverse situation, where he reads on behalf of an isha, and then he listens to the tzibur. So he says he can still work this out perfectly. It's not a mistake on his part to read it for the woman first. Why? Because he can have kavanah shelo lotzeis. Good? Kavanah shelo lotzeis. Now, I'm a little perplexed by this because it's very odd. The man is a bar chiyuva, he's reading it on behalf of a woman, and he's going to have kavanah shelo lotzeis, but to be motzi har. Do you find that paradoxical? Because basically, he's making a statement that this kriya is not for the purpose of the mitzvah, but yet he has kavanah to be motzi har. So I guess it works like this, that all you need is a bar chiyuva. You don't even need that bar chiyuva on that particular occasion is fulfilling his obligation. He's having kavanah shelo lotzeis because he wants to hear the Megillah with the tzibur. When he reads it for a woman, she can be yotze. If she has kavanah, he has kavanah to be motziah, even though he himself is not implementing the mitzvah at all. He's going to only do it later.
I mean, does it have to
Now he wants to know about the nusach habracha and who should recite the bracha. So he says the following: Kshu mevarech le'noshim, tov levarech l'shma megillah. This is a Bahag, right? That the woman is only obligated in hearing the Megillah. Right. So we have to switch the Nusach from Likros as a Megillah to Lishmoa Megillah. Kiesh posted to some of the Isha and Chayevas Bekriya, Verak Lishmoa.
Is that the halacha?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's how we pass, like the Baha'i.
And she's only obligated in Shmir. That's why she's not Motzi a man. Now, he doesn't tell you who should make the bracha. It sounds like he has no problem with the man making the bracha and changing the nusach to Lishmoa Megillah. I would have advocated in this case that the woman herself should make the bracha. Let's see. No, he doesn't quote anything. Again, he's reading on behalf of a woman, and he should recite the bracha Lishmoa Megillah.
Is it just Lishmoa Megillah or
Al? Oh, so that's what I was wondering. Pashtus, he's right that here it's Al Mikra Megillah. We suggested that the... I'm sorry, here it's Likros Megillah, because we suggest that the Al Mikra Megillah is because of the additional element of Tzibur. But he's reading it for a woman, so there's no additional element of Tzibur. So if he's switching from Likros to Lishmoa, then he should also switch from Al to Lib. We make a double change in the Nusach HaBrach. That's if you assume the Al Mikra Megillah is justified by the Tzibur element, which is lacking here, so if we go back to Lamed. The Ravid had a different sheet to that. On a mitzvah d'rabbanan, you make a bracha with an Al. So if that be the case, then if he's reading it for a woman, she only has a chiv d'rabbanan, she should make the bracha with the Al.
But there's some if it's a more than one. One.
Well, again, according to the Ravid, if it's the Rabbanon, then it shifts over to an Al. I mean, I don't in that frame of reference, I don't think it makes any difference how many women are listening. And then in Ramban, we had the possibility of the Tzibur element that shifts the bracha from Lama to an Al. And that doesn't apply when he's reading it for a woman. Hence, Lishmoa Megillah. Now, we also had the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam that if the mitzvah is being fulfilled immediately, you should make a bracha with a lamed. So according to him, it's ein bo shihui, and therefore make the bracha with a lamed. But that's only for a woman. For a man, right, the bracha is going to be al mikra megillah with an al.
But way back for you.
Did I go too fast?
No. You mentioned that.
Yeah.
That Megillah is really it's not fulfilled instantly.
It is fulfilled instantly.
Oh,
it's a mitzvah nasis miyad, and therefore it's an al, as opposed to tefillin and mitzitzis and leishi besukah. That's with a lama because it's continuous. Correct, one key.
Okay.
So therefore, it should be with an al. That's called miyad in the language of Rabbeinu Tam. I mean, if that be the case, the same thing should apply if he's reading it for a woman. Should be with an al. So I'm not sure when he says Lishmoa Megillah, I don't know if he means it literally. Do we have to take him? Do we have to take this literally that he means Lishmoa? Let me see it again. Be Yivarech Lishmoa. Yeah, he does seem to indicate that it shifts to a lamed. Why would, again, if you hold that the reason why there's an al in Kriyas HaMegillah is because of the tzibur element, then I understand what the Mishnah Berurah is saying with a lama. If, on the other hand, you tell me because of the mitzvah Rabbanon, then it doesn't change from him to her. And if you're telling me it's a mitzvah Nasis Miyad, that also should make a difference, and she can be, and the bracha should be with a. If it's tzibur, the bracha should be with a lamed. If it's because it's miyad, it should be with an al, even in the case of an isha. Yeah, nothing changes here. I'm not sure why the Mishnah Berurah recommends changing the girsin in two different ways when you're reading it for a woman. Number one, from Shmiah, from Kriya to Shmiah, that okay, that's a Bahag. And number two, from an Al to a Lamed. Why should it be with a Lamed? That's what I don't understand. Unless you're going with the Tzibur. Yeah, he does? Oh, that would be interesting. And I wonder if he also asks the question, who should recite the bracha? Because I have a suspicion that she should recite the bracha. But I don't see it here in the Mishnah Berurah. Did I miss it? Where did you find anything? What exactly is he addressing? Do you know? Which is it then? Can I look on with you?
He just says that the women are just like men and
respect. He says, the Bekoris, the Atzma, Mikra Megillah. I didn't see that. Oh, there it is. Noshim, I know this work. Al Mikra Megillah. Come on, Noshim. Kosu Bishut. Okay, fine. Where is this footnote number 23 take you to? I see on the bottom 24. This is 23. Oh, I see. 23. Now he quotes a tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer that Enk Peda Bazeh Shub De'em Avarchas Af Al Mitzvah Saseishas Mangrah She'em Avarchas Af Al Mitzvah Saseishas Mangrah She'potros Mimenu She'poturis Mimenu. Okay. So let's go back now to the question of eating. Are you allowed to eat before Megillah? So he says the following. This is the Mechaber in Siv Dalet. Mishu onus ktsas v'en yochul leiluch v'esaknes sof lahamtin ad li'achar shekaru akol v'koshel of leiluch v'taynis kol kach. So what's the problem here? He is not able to make it to the Beis HaKnesses. He's a chol, he's a zokin, and he's going to have to hear the Megillah after the Kriya of the Beis HaKnesses, when the Balkori comes to read on his behalf. And now he's fasting, and it's hard for him to fast more than that. He's yachol l'shmo kriyosin v'bogyom yiplaga mincha ula mala. And the Ramah adds, Aval osu lechol kodem she yishma kriyas ha-megillah v'afilu ha-tainis kosher olav. So I think this is the first time we've encountered the possibility of reading the Megillah Niplaga Mincha, and this is all a b'dyavad kind of situation, because the pressing urgency of eating before, of not fasting, because you can't eat before you read the Megillah. So he's an onus. He cannot go to the Beis HaKnesses. He's going to have to read it on his own. And it's kosher lov leishit v'tainis kol kach. I'm not exactly sure why. I mean, the whole tainis is going to last for an hour or two. Normally we fast for a full 24 hours or 12 hours. But in any event, that's the mitzvah. He's weak, he's older, and it's going to, he's getting it's really hurting him in his stomach. He's got hunger pains. So yachol l'shmo kriyosim v'bod yom. Niplaga mincha l'mal. This is a chiddush. Is the Mishnah Berurah going to comment on this? The Mechaber himself.
He makes a small comment on this.
Oh, he does. Okay, so we'll want to see. Be eager to see the Mishnah Berurah, because this is all based on a Trumas Hadeshen. Before the Trumas Hadeshen, I don't know if anybody recognized such a thing. Again, we have things like Plagah Mincha for Ner Chanukah, we had it for tefillah, let's say Mincha. Oh, that's a good example. You could have Mincha from Plagah Mincha.
So if Ner Chanukah,
I'm sorry, that was a mistake, what I just said. Scratch that. You could have Meir from Plagah Mincha.
If you add, you can, I guess, light that after Plagah, certainly if your oil should last.
Ah, right. You know, try to get it to last, but even so,
I think it would be the same concept, principle, no?
Right. But again, like you say, if your oil is going to last into the night, then you could say that that you created an Erech Chanukah. But here, your Kriyas HaMegillah is going to end before Purim. You know, let's say it's an hour and a quarter before Shkia, and you finish the Megillah in 25 minutes. So you haven't even gotten to Shkia yet. So it's really the 13th of Adar. You know, again, maybe this has to do, Taka, with the halacha of Megillah Shalom Bizmano. Like we said, you can, you know, Yotzi Lederach, Yotzi B'Shayar, you can read the Megillah as early as Rosh Chodesh Adar.
Well, he says it's like night anyway.
So he's not learning that this aloch of Kodim Zmana.
Right. Yes, it's,
yeah, it doesn't really sound like it's Kodim Zmana. So let's just go through the Mishnah Brura. We're talking about number Yud Beis, right? Tzarech Lahamtin. He's waiting for the call to finish until he can fit in his kriya. Ratzlom shiyavo ach echad likro lefano. Fine, he needs someone to read of him. Demikodem osel lechol kibol linyan kriyat shma. So he can't eat before the mitzvah. Then he says we can read it biplaga mincha hu shover revia kodem alayla. But tam the came into chashvina leilayla linyan tefilas arvis shiyachol ispalo bizmana hu chashvina leilayla lach gam linyan zeh. So he's not talking about Yud Gimel, you know, that I said.
It's not like surely before this mind. It's considered night.
Right? So it's a universal halacha that you can consider as night. Let's just see. We have Yudalit to do the Mishnah Berurah, but let's just see for a second before we get to Yudalit what happens here in the Bir Halacha. You probably mean Chol Amal Makoro Mi Mashe. Hikilu or Hikalnu to a very shlam and days Gabi Tfilus Arbis who didn't create Shmashal Arbis who should serve in Tam Achen Kozo Im Hu Nisar Tobin Lispal Mincha Kodem Plag. This whole heter is conditional on the fact that he's going to daven Mincha before Plag. Because only then, otherwise he gets involved in a Taktil Sasu, so only then can we consider it after Plaga Mincha as nighttime, as far as Arvis or Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, or in this case Megillas Esther? And now he has the Priyat Chodesh, who see he doesn't like the whole deal. He says, "Came into the Gemara, Alfinulam Mitziv Laila Lo Dumili Laila, he nikreis Ad Seisako Chavim Laila Lo nikreis Ad Seisako Chavim VeGavlin Yikriyat Shva Roba Posim Cholkim Arbein Tam." And although there are poskim who say that you can be mekil like Rabbeinu Tam, but many poskim hold that you cannot be mekil like Rabbeinu Tam. And Lila means Lila Mamish. Achena Beis Yosef Yosef Tov Reish Pei Zion. Let's see, Tov Reish Pei Zion. Okay, that was the beginning of Hilchus Megillah. Ad shua dain b'tchum yud gimel v'yavsha p'chodesh docha minig b'zeh b'shtei time v'kom v'kom kam achronim heilitzu v'yad ha-minig ha-zeh shevi'u kamo rishonim v'daitim da'afsha mach v'tom v'labroch v'kol kol v'yin cholo v'tztar v'yke likros v'vodjom k'tsas yesh la milismach v'yavsha mokam adchakol af b'tzibur yesh la hoke likros Afsheina Dain Lila Gimura. So again, the Pichorish is not happy about this whole enterprise here of reading it before Lila. He holds that the mitzvah Megillah is a mitzvah Salila. And even as far as Rabbeinu Tam, with regard to Mairiv and Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, that's a shita that not not everyone is willing to be make it like that shita. So insofar as we're connecting or comparing Megillah reading with Meirik, with let's say Kriya Shema Shel Arvit, then we really require Lila. And so that's the Prima Gaon's position. But the bottom line is that the Mishnah Berurah seems to advocate, if need be, in Shas Adchak, that we allow a Megillah reading earlier. Now again, he plays two different tunes over here. Sometimes he plays with Plaga Mincha, which is the Mechaber here. Other times he says Ktsas a little bit before the Zman, which is not that's not an hour and a quarter before the Zman. Then he has another Kula that even the Tzibur might want to read the Megillah earlier if need be.
This whole Sura here is on someone who is it connected? Someone who has trouble fasting, and so therefore, so he can break the fast right at the earliest time. I mean, so
that's what he seems to be saying. He says, "Kasha love leishim."
Would it be better just to eat before Kriyat Megillah?
Oh, so here's the deal. I said to you that the whole fast is an extra hour or two, but that has to be seen in a broader context. We're assuming that we're talking about the Prozim now. The Prozim fast on Yud Gimel, which is Tainus Esther, and then they go straight into Megillah reading on Yud Dalet. So even if we're only adding another hour or two, but it's an hour or two to a full fast, this is not true for the Krochim, who are reading the Megillah on the 15th. Now, to add a little bit of an hour or two to a complete day of fasting, then it's kosher of leisha v'tainis kol kaf, then for that reason, we're going to allow reading Megillah mibojom. But if you don't have that issue of kosher of leisha v'tainis kol kaf, then we have another issue, and that's that you're not allowed to eat before a mitzvah. Whether that mitzvah is tefillah, kriyat shema, whatever the mitzvah might be, you're not allowed to eat from the time of the mitzvah. We prohibit you from eating, because once you get involved in eating, you might get distracted and you won't do the mitzvah. And the Mechaber is taking a very strong stand on that, and he's saying that we're not going to allow you to eat. He says, I'm sorry, that's not the part of it. He says, Yachal Shema Kriyasim Bojom. And then if you add the Ramoy, he says, Avalasu Lechel Kodom Shishma Es Kriyasim Gila, Filu Atainis Koshalo. No, there's no empathy here. There's no tolerance here for breaking your fast before the Megillah. What we are going to be tolerant about is allowing you to read the Megillah a little bit earlier, but not to eat before. You see how significant, how much severity and weight that the Chazal put to this Isur of not eating before you do a mitzvah. But let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah Yudalit. He says, "I'm b'mogen Avram shemasik the dafka achila osravel te'ima bi'alma shari." So whatever te'ima is, it might be enough to calm down his tremendous weakness from the fast. Instead of being lenient and allowing for the reading of the Megillah so early, the better option would be allow him to do a te'ima before Kriyas HaMegillah, and if that'll quiet down his hunger pains, we won't have to be makel to read the Megillah mibojom miplagam mincha. That's the Magen Avraham. V'pri chodesh kara tagar al kula zu. The Pre-Chodesh is not at all happy about Te'ima? Is that what he's saying? No, one second. What does he mean, Pre-Chodesh Karatagor Al Kula Zu? Just one second. So we had a Kula to say that he's allowed to do a Te'ima. Okay, Tovias Lahokil, he says, Ashi Yitom Kodem. Ovlola Hakel Likros Miplaga Mincha. On that he says, Hapri Chodesh Karatagar Al Kula Zu. The Kula being of reading it earlier, before after Plaga Mincha, that
that was not, that did not find any favor in the eyes of the Pri Chodesh. So once again, in these two choices that he has of reading either Megillah earlier or just allowing him to have a te'ima before the Kriyas Megillah, we were in favor of the latter, because the Pri Chodesh doesn't even recognize the possibility of reading before the Zman.
What is
Tima? Hainu kim beitza pas. Wow, that's enough to bench on. I don't know why that's called Te'ima. O mashkim kishir beitza. Does he say anything here in the bottom? Chof Beis? No, it just tells you it's a Derech HaChaim. That's really fascinating that you'd be Chayav Birkas Hamazon, at least Mirabbanon, on this Te'ima, and yet it's allowed. Because he's only eating a kibetz's worth of pas. Also a prima godim, lefik Adas Apri Chodesh Afil Ben Shmoshes Saint Likros with the Evidim Kor Ben Shmoshes Gamkim Estapik Shom Im Loba Ones VeHechrik Godol Is Yesh Lutzadi LaHokil. So we see the Pri Chodesh is, this is like the Prima Godim, I should say, is he's making this into a Molchemes Mitzvah that we should not be reading before Lila Im Loba Ones VeHechrik Godol. I don't know what the chiddush here is, that even though he, this is like your case in Erchak, where the Shemit lasted, so he finished the Megillah after Tzeis HaKochav, but he started it before Tzeis HaKochav. That's not good enough. I am b'shari tshuva b'shem haberki Yosef v'bir aloch v'kovakom ha-meke l'chol l'yoledes l'mar kriyosan v'vod yom k'tsas. Alright, let's see what he's saying here. Yishlam milisma. I think he's going, in the bir aloch, he's going back to his original position, that if we have to, for your lettuce or a chola, we'll be makir, and we'll allow him to start a little bit before. I don't know if he's willing to go as far as plaga mincha, but ktsas, he says, mibod yom ktsas, yeshla mi lismo, he could rely on that. Okay, I think we'll stop here, Ruvain. Let's just make a note of where we got up to. And we're on page 317. And you know what? I just realized, just to finish Simon Tafresh Tzadi Beis, we'll add the last two Se'ifim in the Mishnah Berurah. Konim Shishma Kriyashma Kmo, Le'in Kriyashma Di Arvis, Di Asrinan, Mitam Shemi Echtofen Shenami Bottom Mikriyasa. Just like in the case of Krishma Shal Arvis, if he starts eating and he hasn't recited Krishma, I'm afraid he'll fall asleep, and then he'll be but mevatel the mitzvah. Is kolshkein sha'asur lishon kodim kriyas ha-megillah? If he died to rach lishon kima, he should not go to sleep before he hears the Megillah, even if he's only intending to sleep for a short period of time. And this is a Gemara and Brachos Daf Dalet as far as Krishma is concerned. Ukriyas ha-megillah hu chov gadol sharei kol mitzvus nidchim mipaneo kiliel v'siman tofresh pei zayin. So we're docha the avodah, we're docha Talmud Torah for the sake of Mikra Megillah. We have to be very careful about Mikra Megillah. Then he writes, v'dadik mo b'layla osu lechol kodum kriyosa hu adin bayom afilu kvar hispalel. Even though he davened already, so there's no Iser of Lo Sochel al Adam, but he still has an Iser of eating before Megillah reading. And not only that, Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom is more chomer than Kriyas HaMegillah by Laila. This is according to the Turi Evan and the Nod Behuda, that Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom is Midivrei Kabbalah. And he says, Kmo L'inyan Shofar V'lulav, we don't eat before a mitzvah. He doesn't mention exactly how long before the mitzvah, but he writes that the pratim you'll see in Hilchas Kriyat Shema. Afilu Atainis Kashalov, it's the last Mishnah in the Siman. V'imu Adam Chalush Vashehiya Yazik Libriuso. If he's a weak fellow and it might actually harm his health, Yachalovi Decholi. Uteima Mi'at Lo Maspik Lo. He said, Tima itself is not enough. Is near the Shari Lechol. Achivakesh mi echad shias kirenu likros amigilach achiloso. And he writes here in the Bir Alocha and in the Shartziyun especially that we should see the Magen Avram in the name of the Mariel. Afil chol lo yochal kodem kriyosalim kein yesh po sakana. That's a little bit of a difficult piece. But he says, "Nira deshari lech achivakish mi echad sheyaskiren." Fine. So somebody should remind him to read the Megillah after he finishes his achila, and the Prima Gadol writes, "Sofik im karsa Megillah efshe dloam rinim as esfeka derabat lekulim ishum du midirei kabbalah." So that Prima Gadol lechora would apply to kriyas Megillah by yom, but not to kriyas Megillah by laila. So Bli Nether will do Tafresh Sadi Gimel tomorrow.